WWE Crown Jewel 2023 officially in the books. We're going to run down the results, give some thoughts, and also talk a little bit about where we are heading just 3 weeks from tonight at Survivor Series in Chicago. A very anticipated event for a lot of us, and I think there's a lot of more details for Survivor Series hidden in plain sight at Crown Jewel, so we're going to talk all about it in this video. Now, you guys know how I do these review videos. I'm not your move-by-move extreme breakdown guy, but I do want to run down the results as always, and then, like I said, really dive down deep into some of these storylines, especially where they're heading for Survivor Series, which, as you know, is just 3 weeks from tonight. An official confirmation during Crown Jewel that Survivor Series will feature the War Games matches. Of course, this is something we have been speculating on since the summer. I feel like I was talking about it before anybody else here on YouTube, before anybody started being like, well, I think we're going to get War Games at Survivor Series. We were talking about it in like July, and now we have our official confirmation, as we all expected. War Games at Survivor Series, I assume a men's and women's matchup. Very much looking forward to that just 3 weeks from tonight, or tomorrow, the time this video gets uploaded. And we're going to talk about who I think is going to end up in the men's War Games match at Survivor Series as we talk about a couple of matches at Crown Jewel. And I'm going to jump around the Crown Jewel card and just kind of sum it all up into one. Of course, Sami Zayn defeating JD McDonagh on the kickoff. I did not watch this show live, full disclaimer. I watched it afterwards after it aired, and I'm just getting done now, which is just a little bit after 9 p.m. here on the East Coast, so I did not bother watching the kickoff. I'm sure it's a fine matchup. It's Sami Zayn defeating JD McDonagh. I really don't need to go out of my way to see it, at least right now. And then, of course, we kicked off the main show, which is very surprising, with the World Heavyweight Championship match between Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. Not sure why this opened the show, maybe to because of the aftermath with Damian Priest and Sami Zayn. I don't know. Nonetheless, it was an awesome matchup. This was probably maybe my most anticipated match of the show, between this and then Logan Paul and Rey Mysterio. I was very much looking forward to these two matches, and Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins absolutely tearing it up. I am a big Drew McIntyre guy. I've made several videos and had several discussions over the last several months, even before McIntyre's return at SummerSlam, where I wanted to see McIntyre end up. And even though he came out on the losing side of things in this matchup, I'm just very happy to see McIntyre back in that main event fold, where he should be, competing for the world championship. And in this loss, you saw the frustration on McIntyre's face, and then they followed that up immediately with that quick backstage segment of McIntyre just sitting there in frustration, and Rhea Ripley coming by and just kind of giving him the shrug. So just all the more details being added for McIntyre's inevitable heel turn, which might happen this coming Monday night on Raw. We do only have 3 weeks to finalize, you know, Survivor Series and get that build into high gear. So if McIntyre is going to be on the side of the Judgment Day at War Games, you kind of need to kick that McIntyre heel turn into full gear, I'd say, this Monday night on Raw. But McIntyre and Rollins, great matchup. Rollins, of course, retaining the World Heavyweight Championship as expected. Damian Priest trying to cash in. Sami Zayn putting a stop to that. And then, of course, we saw Damian Priest later in the night against Cody Rhodes, which threw a bunch of shenanigans as expected. Cody Rhodes defeated Damian Priest. Now, with all of these guys lumped up into one, where do I see things heading for the men's War Games matchup just 3 weeks from tonight? Now, of course, we have had several discussions here on the channel talking about the men's War Games matchup. First, I thought it was going to be just a Raw thing. Then in the month of October, I was like, maybe it's going to be more of a interpromotional thing, since we are seeing a little bit of a loose alliance between the Judgment Day and the Bloodline. But I think it's come back down to earth a little bit, for lack of a better term, and sticking to Monday Night Raw. And I do think the Raw crew will be headlining the men's side of the War Games match, where later in this video, I'm going to talk about how I think the SmackDown crew for the women will headline the women's War Games match. And even though this lineup for the men's War Games matchup is something we already discussed before we got Crown Jewel, I think Crown Jewel was just all the more solidifying it, and if that makes sense, that being Drew McIntyre, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, Dominic Mysterio, and JD McDonagh taking on the team of the World Heavyweight Champion Seth freaking Rollins, Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and I'm going to throw Ricochet on the babyface side, because Ricochet is somebody who Triple H has continued to at least have something to do on Monday Night Raw. I know he's in the four-way to possibly challenge for the Intercontinental title this coming Monday night. I do not see him winning that matchup. I think either Bronson Reed, Ivar, Miz, there's the other three challengers. I think they all have a better chance at winning that match. I really don't see Ricochet in that spot at the current moment. But remember, just a couple of weeks ago, Ricochet, or just this past Monday, last week, Ricochet and Dominic one-on-one. Ricochet starting to loosely get involved with Judgment Day business. So I do see Ricochet ending up on the babyface side for the War Games matchup. And I think all that's left to do to set up this match is this Monday on Raw. Again, McIntyre turns heel. Maybe one of the Judgment Day members costs Ricochet that four-way. You know, and then again, in the end of the show, McIntyre can be reigning as the newly turned heel Drew McIntyre. Next week on Raw, the babyfaces can align. I would love if they send William Regal out there to do the War Games announcement, which I think is very possible. I think Triple H is going to throw us that bone. And then we're good to go. Then we're off to the races with this all-star lineup. And if this is the case, if this is the War Games match we get, we'll say very happy to see names like JD McDonagh, Dominic Mysterio, and Ricochet in there. Some guys who either maybe have loosely been aligned with the main event or are just starting to get there. Really cool to see some different talent in that big matchup. If this is the men's War Games match that we do get at Survivor Series, but I do believe it will be the matchup again. McIntyre, Balor, Priest, Dominic, and JD McDonagh versus Rollins, Cody, Jay, Sammy, and Ricochet. Signed, sealed, delivered, book it. And speaking of the Judgment Day, and more specifically Rhea Ripley, she successfully defended her Women's World Championship on this show in the fatal five-way match against Nia Jax, Raquel Rodriguez, Shayna Baszler, and Zoe Stark. My biggest interest, if you will, with the Raw Women's Division right now is honestly who they're going to throw at Rhea Ripley before WrestleMania, because I do think they will delay Rhea versus Becky for WrestleMania 40. I think that's just the obvious way to go for the biggest show of the year, is having the two biggest names in the Raw Women's Division fight for the Women's World Championship. But Rhea beating these other four names in one shot, not saying they can't run her and Baszler one-on-one, or her and Raquel again, or anything like that, but there are some other women in the Raw Women's Division that I would love to see get a shot at Rhea Ripley. Not saying they're going to beat her, but I'd love to see her and Candice LeRae, her and Indy Hartwell. Some of the other names that are in the Raw Women's Division, Tegan Knox is on Raw, so I'd love to see some of those names mix it up with Rhea Ripley over the next couple of months in the lead up to possibly WrestleMania match, to a possible WrestleMania match with Becky Lynch, especially Tegan Knox, now that I'm saying it out loud, because I think you can use Tegan almost as a little bit of a catalyst to pull Becky Lynch into the storyline, since Tegan and Becky have a little bit of history now because of the NXT Women's Championship. But that's my biggest interest. This Fatal 5-Way was actually pretty good. They kind of burned through. I don't want to say, that kind of sounds bad saying it, like burn through, but it was kind of a shorter five-way matchup, if you will, and like everybody got their shine and it kind of went away quick, if that makes sense. I don't know, that's just how I was feeling during the matchup, but you know, we had a cool spot in the end with Rhea hitting the Riptide, I think, on Zoe Stark on top of Raquel or something like that, and then pinning Baszler, who was stacked up underneath. It was a cool spot to end it. Love me some just controlled chaos in these Fatal 5-Way matches from time to time. Like I said in my prediction video, anytime WWE just throws a bunch of talent in one match and says let them loose, it usually ends up pretty good, and I think this one was pretty good as well. Solo Sikoa, as I predicted, defeating John Cena on this show, and I do think this will be John Cena taking a step back from what has been, what, an 8-plus week run? Something roughly like that on Friday Night SmackDown. Maybe we'll see him back for the Royal Rumble. Maybe we'll see him back for WrestleMania 40, and especially as the way this match ended, let's get it out there, I could easily see John Cena wanting to come back for redemption, because near the end of this matchup, and really for the second half of this matchup, after Cena, you know, really controlled the first couple of minutes, I mean, Solo just beat the hell out of John Cena, man. Multiple, you know, just the freaking backup, what the hell you call it, the Uso thing, the Rikishi thing in the corner, just freaking squashing John Cena's head, you guys know what I mean, and then hit this dude with, like, I don't even know, 10, 12 Samoan spikes in the end to defeat John Cena, just absolutely obliterating him. And then Solo Sikoa, as I said, getting the victory. Really like that finish, how Solo just absolutely got an emphatic, no questions asked victory. No Jimmy Uso involved, no Paul Heyman, just Solo went out there and did it on his own, and that's what Solo needs to take that next step and eventually be on his own, because he's not going to be with Roman Reigns forever. So getting that solidified victory over Cena, definitely doing him some good. Again, I could see them running this matchup back. Cena goes away for a few months, and if, you know, Hollywood doesn't reopen anytime soon and Cena is going to be around for WrestleMania season, I could easily see him coming back and wanting that redemption. One more match against Solo Sikoa, and then he beats Solo at WrestleMania or something like that. Remains to be seen, but I think Crown Jewel, they did the right decision here with Solo defeating John Cena. Definitely a fan of this matchup, and especially with the result. And I will talk about Roman Reigns and LA Knight for the Undisputed Universal Championship right now as well. We'll save the women's title and that, or I should say the WWE Women's Championship and the Women's War Games discussion for the end here. But of course, we had Roman Reigns defeating LA Knight to retain the Undisputed Universal Championship. No surprise there. I said it in my prediction video. I've been saying it for weeks. As great as it is, LA Knight being in this spot, I was not one of these people online like, oh, why are they putting LA Knight in this spot? It's going to hurt his momentum. If anything, LA Knight was going to be just fine, if not better, coming out of this matchup. Look what he has done over the last year. You think one loss to Roman Reigns was going to knock him down a bunch of pedestals? I think you're an idiot. I don't know what else to say. Well, LA Knight's going to be just fine, especially because of how this match ended. You had Solo Sikoa out there distracting the referee. Jimmy Uso gets involved multiple occasions, just absolutely screwing over LA Knight. And then Roman Reigns, after like, I think the second or third spear in this matchup, defeats LA Knight to retain the championship. And where we go from here with Roman Reigns, for one, I don't think that was possibly rumored earlier in this week to be Roman's last match of 2023, which kind of sucks. I get not putting him on Survivor Series, because if Survivor Series pans out how we're all daydreaming it's going to be, like, you're not going to need Roman Reigns for that show. War Games matches, possible multiple returns, like, Survivor Series is going to be absolutely a stacked show, maybe the most insane show of 2023. Like, I'm fine with Roman not being on that show. And of course, there is no December pay-per-view anymore. We basically just take December off in a sense, and then we start the slow but sure build to the Royal Rumble. And obviously, Roman will be back for the Rumble. I'm sure he'll face AJ Styles on that show, because AJ got unfinished business with the Bloodline. Go through Elimination Chamber, beat somebody else, and then go fight, hopefully, Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania 40. But as for LA Knight, where does he go from here? Well, in the long run, I do think LA Knight will challenge Logan Paul for the United States Championship at WrestleMania 40. We've talked about that before, and after what we saw tonight, only more evidence, if you will, leading towards that. But as for the next few months and just the next few weeks leading into Survivor Series, LA Knight getting involved with Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa just makes the most sense. And who did Solo and Jimmy put on the shelf several weeks ago, over a month ago on SmackDown, which allowed LA Knight to get involved in Bloodline business? That was the phenomenal AJ Styles. Now that Cena, I assume, is going to be taking a step back, AJ Styles can now step in. We can possibly get AJ and LA Knight versus Solo and Jimmy. Nice little tag team matchup at Survivor Series, something like that. If not, maybe AJ versus Jimmy or AJ versus Solo, something along those lines. But LA Knight's going to be just fine. I expect him to be involved with Bloodline business for the foreseeable future until we get into Royal Rumble season. He starts doing his own thing. And again, I think he will challenge Logan Paul for the United States Championship at WrestleMania 40. Another guy we threw out for Logan Paul to possibly challenge him at that show if he were to win the United States title, which he of course did, was Kevin Owens. However, I do think that match is coming sooner rather than later. We'll talk about that in a second. But LA Knight losing to Roman Reigns, he's going to be just fine. Looking forward to seeing what's next for LA Knight. And then again, as we mentioned, Logan Paul defeating Rey Mysterio to become the United States champion. Absolutely okay with this decision. Logan Paul 100% should be a champion in WWE. Not around enough to be a world champion, but United States champion, go right ahead. And guys, it's November. I don't see Logan Paul holding that US title past WrestleMania 40. Maybe a month or two, if anything. But again, I just said it before, I'll say it again. I see LA Knight taking down Logan Paul months from now when we get to Philadelphia for the United States Championship. So I have no problem with Logan Paul going on a little six month reign, whatever it is, with that US title and definitely retaining it on a couple of occasions. I don't expect Logan Paul to just not show up until the Royal Rumble and then just the build for WrestleMania. As a matter of fact, I can see Logan Paul defending the US title in just 3 weeks at Survivor Series, either A, in a rematch versus Rey Mysterio, or B, a matchup that was possibly rumored for WrestleMania, and we already saw a little face-off between them backstage on SmackDown in recent weeks, Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens. And that, if that doesn't happen at Survivor Series, maybe we get at the Rumble or Elimination Chamber, something like that. But I do think Kevin Owens versus Logan Paul will be in the cards in the near future, and I'm all for Logan Paul being the United States champion as of right now. So all remains to be seen if he'll be on Survivor Series, if he'll be defending it, but I think another match with Rey just makes the most sense, honestly, because of how he won this matchup with the brass knucks. Him and Kevin Owens is a great matchup. I'd love to see it. I think they tear it up. Logan defeating Kevin Owens, I think would only be an extra layer on, I think, an inevitable possible story for later in 2024 with a Kevin Owens heel turn. I do think that is going to happen. We've talked about that before in recent videos. And then whoever else they want to throw at Logan Paul on SmackDown, be my guest. But this was a great matchup, all for Logan Paul having a run with the United States title. Can't wait to see what's next. And then, of course, we had the WWE Women's Championship match left to talk about on this show. Io Sky retaining her title against Bianca Belair. Just some quick thoughts on the match. Definitely solid. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as their Backlash match earlier this year, but this was definitely a solid matchup. I mean, it's Io, it's Bianca. You know you're going to get something good. But definitely the result of this matchup is why we need to talk about it a little bit more in depth and how it's going to play into the Women's War Games match in just 3 weeks. Bayley was out there helping Io Sky to absolutely no avail, but as rumored for months on end, and then it was just never coming to be, but the night finally came tonight. Kairi Sane finally making her WWE return, helping Io Sky retain the WWE Women's Championship. And I'm just happy to see Kairi back. I was bummed when she left a few years ago, and I wasn't even watching WWE full-time. But Kairi Sane is freaking great. Her and Io Sky's, I don't want to say short-lived team in NXT. I think they had a pretty solid run from what I remember. I think it was before the days of the NXT Women's Tag Team titles, and even before the main roster women's titles, if not around the same time it ended. Doesn't matter. But nonetheless, I'm happy to see Kairi back. She is definitely going to be a plus for the SmackDown Women's Division. And now her being on the side of Io Sky and Bayley kind of looking confused is going to make for some interesting storylines, I think, past Survivor Series. I can easily see the split between Io and Bayley coming. Io versus Bayley possibly happening at the Royal Rumble, or maybe even Elimination Chamber. And then I could see a split between Io and Kairi Sane and this tag team kind of being short-lived and possibly getting Io versus Kairi at WrestleMania 40, possibly even adding Asuka in there and literally having a dream triple threat. But once again, the numbers for Io Sky were in her favor. They screwed over Charlotte Flair. They've screwed over Bianca, Asuka. How is it all going to come to a head? Well, it's going to come to a head in the Women's War Games match. You know, we talked about the Women's War Games match a couple of videos ago, and I kind of threw an idea together with the Raw women, but after what we have really seen on SmackDown as of late, and especially after tonight with this addition to the SmackDown roster, I think you have some solid teams that you can put together on the SmackDown side of things slash interpromotional because of the WWE Women's Tag Team titles that I think can give you a great Women's War Games match. So let's just spell out the teams and then I will explain for the Women's War Games match. And again, this is just my predictions, but on one side of the field, you got your WWE Women's Champion Io Sky, of course Bayley, unfortunately Dakota Kai not going to be in there because she's still injured, but Kairi Sane will be in her place. And then on their team, the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. And then opposing those women, you of course have Bianca Belair, you have Charlotte, you have Asuka, an all-star lineup there, and then you have two women who I do think will be gunning for the Women's Tag Team Championships in the near future, and they are a part of the SmackDown roster, and that being the former NXT Tag Team Champions Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, who literally got called up to SmackDown to unify their belts with the Women's Tag Team titles, and then haven't done anything since besides some vignettes that have been airing for the last like month or so, and then I think they had a quick stare down with Chelsea and Piper on NXT either last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. So they're clearly being aligned to either take down or just challenge Chelsea and Piper for those tag team titles. I'm all for it. Definitely like the team of Alba and Isla and really want to see them get involved on SmackDown. And I think this is the best possible lineup you can get for a Women's War Games matchup. If you're not just going to do a full-on baby faces versus heels of Monday Night Raw match, you could possibly do that. But if the men's War Games match is going to be from Raw, well then why not do give SmackDown the women's side of things, especially because there's a story right here with women that's kind of already laid out for you. Again, Bianca, Charlotte, Asuka, they have all been subject to a numbers game by Io Sky and Bayley, and of course, again, Dakota Kai, who is kind of out of the picture right now. Kairi Sane now back. You got the Women's Tag Team Champions. It does not take much to get them involved, and it was, correct me if I'm wrong, but was it less than a month ago that Charlotte and was it Asuka or Bianca, whoever attacked, or maybe it was Shotzi, whoever her tag team partner was, defeated Chelsea and Piper, so there's a little bit of history there if you care. All in all, I think it just makes the most sense. I think it's the best possible Women's War Games match you can get, and not to repeat myself, but if Raw's going to get the men's, you might as well give SmackDown slash Interpromotional because of Chelsea and Piper the women's. I think it just makes the most sense. And I'll tell you what, man, if some of those matches we lined up for Survivor Series here happens, like, Survivor Series is going to be off the charts. Like, this is going to be Like, last year's was pretty anticipated because of Triple H and because of War Games, but I think this year may be the most anticipated War Game, or excuse me, most anticipated Survivor Series since what? Like, 2011, when The Rock was gonna wrestle for the first time. It was him and John Cena. Legitimately, like, that long. Like, you're gonna have War Games matches. You might have a Logan Paul versus Rey, or a Kevin Owens, which should be great. AJ Styles, LA Knight, Bloodline, you're possibly getting Randy Orton returning through all that. And then, of course, the elephant in the room, Survivor Series Chicago. It's been the talk of the town. Shinsuke Nakamura, who are all these loose freaking messages about? Why is he gonna squash Akira Tozawa on Monday Night Raw? Because Nakamura's got no challenges. And listen, could be Randy Orton. Randy Orton could show up at Survivor Series, challenge Nakamura, but, like, is WWE really gonna do that? Well, I'm not saying the reaction to Randy Orton's gonna be negative if it were, because I don't think it were, but, like, you're literally aligning the pieces for a CM Punk return, so I do think Shinsuke Nakamura will be setting up an open challenge for Survivor Series in the coming weeks, and I do believe CM Punk will be accepting that open challenge, and I do believe we should kick off Survivor Series in Chicago with CM Punk versus Shinsuke Nakamura, then bleed right into the Women's War Games matchup and the rest of the show. And that, if that happens, like, we are literally in for one of the best Survivor Series of all time. We only have to wait 3 more weeks. I am so excited for that show. And I am so excited for that show that we're going to be building up to it here on the channel in a big way. Live this Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time, we'll be right here on the No Nation Wrestling YouTube channel, tier ranking every single Survivor Series of the 2000s. All the Survivor Series events over the last 22 years. Definitely come check us out Tuesday night. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then this coming Thursday, the Ruthless Discussions podcast is back. The only wrestling podcast all about the Ruthless Aggression era. We're going to be going back in time and talking about the Survivor Series event from 2002, one of, if not the greatest Survivor Series of all time. So we're building up to this year's show in a big way. Tuesday, Thursday, going to be some big days right here on the channel, so be sure to subscribe and hit that notification button. And if you enjoyed this video, be sure to leave a like down below. Crown Jewel, another great show. WWE just hitting on all cylinders for me personally right now, and I can't wait for Survivor Series. Leave your thoughts down below in the comments. I hope you guys enjoyed this video, and I'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.